Fly James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Fly! Fly, do you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown.
6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, hello, everybody. Glad to be with you this afternoon. Man, oh, man, do we have a good show in store for you today. I'm not having George Bush on or anything like that, but we still plan on having a good show. Wouldn't that be a kick? We could have him on here. We could all, you could all call in questions to George, and he could do his best to answer them. Oh, that would be funny. That would be funny, ever getting that guy trying to answer any questions. Hey, welcome to the show. Coming to you on the Head On Radio Network. So glad to have all of you along with us this afternoon. I see the Head On Radio Network chat room is busy, busy, busy. Hello to everybody on there. Who we got on there? Toulouse-Lautrec, Smart Mom, ELO. We got Ray Hinckley, Randy D, Ray Dean. Thousands upon thousands. Hundreds of I don't know. I can't keep track of it. Don't have my calculator here. But glad to have all of you along with us here today. It's a beautiful day in Southwest Florida. Hope it's nice where you are as well. We are going to have Clint Curtis with us in the second hour of the program. Clint, as you know, is running in the 26th District of Florida for Congress against Tom Feeney, one of the most low-down bastards in all of Congress. And we're going to explore whatever kind of a relationship he had with Mr. Mark Foley, which, we'll leave it up to Clint to tell us about that anyway. And Clint also is going to talk about black box voting issues, which is... something that I know everybody's interested in as well, and we better be interested in black box voting issue. You know, I was listening today. When the show opening comes on, we have that that cut in there of Franklin Roosevelt saying the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And I was thinking how tragic it is. It just hit me a minute or so ago that this administration that we have right now, the only thing that they want from us is fear itself. That's how they try and rule. They try and rule with fear, 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 and more fear. And we're not going to do that. We're not going to let them do that. Simply, well, we refuse. We refuse. And a lot to talk about today. Of course, we have the Korean, as it turns out, kind of a firecracker they set off, a glorified firecracker. I guess that's what we'd have to say. It was a dud, whatever it was, went off. And wouldn't you know it, the Bush people are out there pushing that story, trying to take the Foley story off the front page. Does it seem to you the same way it does to me that, my God, you get halfway through one story and bam, along comes another one to take its place, and none of them ever gets played out to its conclusion? I see the FBI is starting to interview some of the people in the Foley incident. And did you watch the news conference today? How does Tony Snow do it? How does that guy live with himself? You know, I watched some of his press conference today, and I've never seen a better performance by such a consummate liar, which is what he is, day after day after day, he has to sit in front of reporters and people that he knows and tell them stories that they know are not true. And he does it anyway. It can't be for the money. He was making far more with Fox and his radio program, or maybe there's Richard Mellencamp in the background paying him to do their bidding. Who knows? But mainly, how can he stand before the press every day and the public and throw out one monster lie after another with a straight face? And, oh, he's good at it. Oh, today he was telling us how the Korean problem is Clinton's fault. In so many words, he said it was Clinton's fault, but then he said he wasn't blaming it on Clinton. My, oh, my, oh, my. It's just amazing. And how foolish can these people be, this Bush administration? And we're going to talk a lot about that today, the Korean thing, the Axis of Evil thing. You know, and then there's this Bush policy of not having direct talks with the North Koreans and the Iranians. You know, what an idiotic policy. I can't remember who said it, but it was mentioned that you negotiate with your enemies, not your friends. And these guys are just doing it backwards. But then what else do we expect from the most incompetent bunch of fools ever inhabit the White House? Most certainly. Several times these past couple of weeks while watching the news, I had to wonder if I hadn't, and I know you wonder about the same thing. We think a lot alike. A lot of us talk back and forth on the internet, through email and the chat room and all that sort of thing. But once in a while, you have to wonder if you hadn't mistakenly turned into an episode of The Sopranos on TV. The filth and the corruption being reported about the Republican leadership this week and last week is well beyond anything I could ever have imagined. Actually, The Sopranos, and I've only ever seen a couple of episodes of that. Sopranos look like Mother Teresa compared to this Republican leadership we've got right now. I'm beginning to wonder if there are any of them that are not being investigated for some type of corruption or lying. It's absolutely amazing, just amazing. We've got Bob Woodward's book, State of Denial, and if you haven't seen that, I do recommend you get it. It's not like Bob needs the money or anything, but borrow the book. I don't know if your library's got it yet. Maybe your library doesn't buy books like that. I don't know. But it's an amazing book. And it chronicles the monstrous lies and deception which have taken place almost from day one of this administration. You know, all of this coming on the heels of the Republican choosing to toss habeas corpus out the window. We hadn't even got that story over with, and the legitimizing of torture. We didn't even get into that story hardly at all, and along comes the Foley mess. And we've got numerous generals speaking out against the Bush War, and that's what it is. It's the Bush War. And Rummy's prosecution and his planning of it, which has been absolutely abysmal. I don't care how you look at it. We've got Karl Rove, chief aide, a former Jack Abramoff aide, resigning her job in the wake of another corruption scandal, which appears to be ready to burst wide open. We've hardly heard anything about that. It just keeps, the waves just keep rolling in one after another after another. And Mark Foley, well, good riddance. Good riddance. But then we find out the Republican leadership is up in, you know, it's up to its neck in a cover-up. And I mean totally immersed in cover-up. And I got to give them credit. Never, 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 never have I seen them go into full battle mode quicker than they did this past week. They had to have spent several sleepless nights coming up with a spin that would try and deflect the media's attention away from the true crux of the matter, and that is the completely obvious cover-up by the House leadership. Forget Foley. We got Dennis Hastert swearing that he didn't know a damn thing about the whole Foley mess until a week ago last Friday, when we already heard from Reynolds and Boner that they'd talked to him about it. They both said that they'd talked to Hastert about it. And Reynolds' aide Fordham quits and swears that he told the Speaker's chief of staff, Palmer, all about the thing long ago. And Palmer and Hastert are so close that they're roommates in D.C., and they want us to believe that they never talked about this. Then we find out that they not only knew about it since July, but they actually had plenty of evidence of it 3 or 4 years ago. And Hastert's trying to get us to believe him? Hey, Denny, do you think we were born yesterday? And then O'Denny goes on TV and says he accepts responsibility for the whole thing because he's the guy in charge. But then after only a couple of hours after taking personal responsibility, the hallmark of the Republicans, you know. He blames the whole thing on the Democrats. Yes, sir, he says the Dems have set him up because the timing of the whole thing smells. I'll tell you what smells, Denny. What smells is the rotten corruption emanating from the office of the Speaker of the House of Representatives, and it stinks so bad. The American public are turning up their nose at your party, and the polls are showing it over and over and over again. The Republican Party of corruption and thievery, so blatant and so arrogant that your party has had this feeling that they could do anything and get away with it. And so far, they have done anything they wanted to, and they have gotten away with it. How long did Tom DeLay stay insulated from his crime and corruption? Your party protected him to the hilt. Wouldn't even convene an ethics panel investigation on him. Still, no ethics investigation on Tom DeLay. And this Foley affair, it's somebody else's fault. You want Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid to be investigated? The crimes committed are traced right to the Speaker's front door, and you want Democrats investigated over it? What nerve? Let me ask you, Denny. Did the Democrats get to investigate all the leaks that came out about Bill Clinton? Did Ann Coulter and Lucianne Goldberg and a host of others get sworn in about their efforts to take down Clinton? No. But forget Clinton. He had nothing to do with the Foley matter, and no matter how much you corrupt dishonest Republicans, the party of family values, the party of personal responsibility, and the party of, you remember this so very well, the rule of law. Didn't you get sick of hearing that back then? No matter how you try and spin it, it's not going to work. Oh, you may well convince each other that someone else did it and that those awful Democrats are behind this whole sordid affair, but we will not allow you to get away with spinning it as though you were victims of those nasty Democrats again. No, my Republican friends, this mess is of your own making, and there is no way out of it this time. Your arrogance, your hubris, your downright unethical, immoral, evil ways have finally done you in, and I think it's starting to sink in now. I think you're starting to realize that there's going to be an ill wind blow through Washington against you very, very soon. You're cooked, and you're stewing in your own juices right now, gang. And you know what? I love it. I love it. Finally, you're being seen for what you really are. Finally, the American public is opening their eyes and seeing you bunch of hypocrites for what you really are. Finally, the light of truth is shining brightly on the filth and the corruption and the hatred that is so pervasive in the Republican Party today. Finally, the public is getting a glimpse of what lies underneath that nice little phony veneer you've been so successful at hiding underneath for quite a while now. Eisenhower would be ashamed of you. Barry Goldwater is known to have been ashamed of you before he died. Nelson Rockefeller would be ashamed of you. Hell, Richard Nixon might even be ashamed of you. And I think Ronald Reagan even would be ashamed of you, and that's saying a lot. You've been living in a sewer, and now it's time to wallow in it, and I'm absolutely ecstatic over it. I've waited for this moment for a long, long time. You're the worst bunch of lying hypocrites ever to occupy Washington, D.C., and you're about to be thrown out in your asses, and I only hope and pray that as soon as you're gone, the Democrats will start impeachment hearings and throw that miserable excuse of a president out the door with you. That's if somehow they can find the guts to do it. Am I gloating? Should I feel this way? Probably not. But I do. And I'm willing to endure the consequences over it. I really am. I've had it with them. I know you've had it with them. You know, you stop and think about this Republican Party. Think about this Republican Party that so many people are so proud of. And we're going to talk about the Christian right, whom I've seen interviewed the past couple of days. And, oh, my God, their response to this, it's incredible. It's incredible. They've gone to two or three of these big mega churches and interviewed some of these fundies, and they say, oh, the Foley incident? Oh, that's just one man. I'm still going to vote Republican because they stand for the moral values that I stand for. They're they're the family values party still. What the hell is wrong with these people? Do they smoke joints in their big churches? Is that it? Are they stoned? Foley is just one guy in the party? My God, their whole party's being prosecuted. Where's that list here of people that I've got a list around here someplace of all the people that are being prosecuted right now. I can't find it at the moment. I got this great big long list of people that are being prosecuted in the Republican Party. And yet, you've got these people in these big churches saying that, Foley just, you know, he's not a symptom of the Republican Party. He's just one guy. Here we go. Cunningham, fraud, pleads guilty, delay, conspiracy, laundering money, Safavian, procurement officer, false statements, guilty of everything he was charged with. Libby, charges pending. Scanlon, former delay aide, conspiracy, corruption, pleads guilty. Allen and Rudy, pleads guilty. Doyle, deputy press secretary, child seduction, pleads no contest. Nay, pleads guilty. One after another after another, and yet these fundies have the gall to stand and talk to reporters and say, oh, no, the Republican Party still stands for the same values I do. Let me tell you about the Republican Party. You want to talk about the Republican Party? You stupid people that stand behind them no matter what they do. You go into these big mega churches and they preach from the pulpit that you got to vote Republican because they stand for the values you stand for. The family values of the GOP ideologies is to throw those closest to the bottom of our society to the dogs, dooming the majority of them to economic failure. What they fail to discern or refuse to address is that economic failure is the single most important cause of family failure, which in turn, as you well know, if you pay any attention at all, results in domestic violence and crime and addiction and all these things. But these compassionate conservatives, how about a few things that they've fought tooth and nail against over the years? They fought against women's suffrage. They fought against collective bargaining. They fought against child labor laws. They fought against Social Security, for God's sake. They fought tooth and nail against integration. They fought against the Voting Rights Act. They fought against Civil Rights Act. They fought against Medicare and Medicaid and food stamps and indigent legal services and AmeriCorps and unemployment compensation and welfare and minimum wage and school lunch programs and Head Start and progressive taxation and public radio and television and the funding of the arts and the Peace Corps and even environmental regulations. And then they've got the balls to accuse liberals of playing class warfare. These people have fought against everything that the government has come up with that's good for your middle and lower class people. They have fought against every bit of it. And yet there are still people who are in the middle and lower classes, economically speaking, that can actually stand and look at a reporter and say, they stand for the things I stand for. Their moral values are the same as mine. You know, you feel like, if you're a reporter, I'd feel like knocking them upside the head with a microphone after they told me that. You know, their eyes are glazed over. They stand there looking at the reporters. Oh, yes, they are the family of a family. You know, they're a party of family values, Republican values. Tom Foley's, he's just one man. We're still all for them. Okay, you just go ahead and vote. You know you deserve what you get. You deserve what you get. You know, it's a nation of nitwits. It's just a nation of nitwits that would vote for these people and take a look at the list of things that they have fought against, things that, you know, they've fought against unemployment insurance, for Christ's sake. They talk about being the people that have protected us, and we're going to talk a lot about that today. How these people have protected us. And still there are people, I don't know, what are they delusional? What do they do to them in those big mega fundy churches? Do they hypnotize them? I don't know. How could you How could you be smart enough to hold a job? How could you? If you think that way. Man, I'll tell you what, it's brainwashing. That's what it is. It's brainwashing, and they're so good at it. The Rovian tactics have worked so very well. How very, very well it has worked. I believe Karl Rove is a political genius. He may fall here soon, and we'll all be damn glad of it, but I'll tell you what, he makes Lee Atwater look like a choir boy. He really does. They have managed to delude and deceive millions upon millions of people in this country, deluded them into voting against their own interest. Say, here, take my billfold out of my pocket and take everything I've got. Take my job and send it overseas. Take my rights away from me. Take my habeas corpus rights away from me. Take my free speech. Take my right to privacy away. Take it all. That's what they've done. They have allowed these people to do that, and they've done it so willingly. That's the part that just escapes me. Without a whimper, without a fight whatsoever, without any objection, they have allowed these people to rob and pillage this country. I got to tell you, I studied psych in school. Psych was my major. I am sometimes overwhelmed by this when I see the results of what these people have done. I am absolutely overwhelmed. That's such a large group of people, what, 50-odd million or more, could actually have walked in the polls in 2004 and pulled the lever, pushed the button, or the touch screen, or the black box, or whatever it was that they used, and done it for George Bush again. I voted early the last time. My wife and I voted early, and we went on a cruise, and we were on a cruise down in the Caribbean. Actual election day. And I was ready to celebrate. And I remember sitting at breakfast the following morning, just totally disconsolate, just crushed by the results of this election, just absolutely crushed and baffled by it. My good friend and I were sitting having breakfast, and this guy comes up and asks if he could sit at our table. And he sits down and he says, "Wow, wasn't that something about the election last night?" And I didn't say much. And I don't know, I uttered something that gave him the idea that I wasn't all that happy about it. He says, "Well, you know, George Bush is a good Christian man. He's a good Christian man, and that's what I was looking for." Man, I know a lot of people that are good Christians. I know a lot of really good Christians. I know a lot of really fine, fine people, salt of the earth. I don't know anybody whose actions have demonstrated less of what Christianity stands for than George Bush and his administration. I really don't. Going to take a short break. I'll be right back. Calm down a little. We'll be back, and I do want you to call in when we get back. 866-546-5254.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Thank you.
want you to think about George Bush sitting there playing the banjo. You remember this movie? Except he wouldn't be able to play the banjo like that kid did. But I think of George Bush as that kid. I do. Without the musical ability. Folks, my name's George Bush, and I'm from Texas, and I'm just the biggest dumbass that ever walked the face of the earth. But my daddy was president, and my family's got lots of money, and I am the president of the United States right now. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Yeah, that's what I think about when I hear this music. I think of George Bush. And that's right, talking about the chat room, George Bush is not a real Texan. He is not. He's an Easterner, that's for sure. But like everything else in his life, his entire life, when you stop and think about it, and I hate to sit here today and just bash Bush, and I'm not going to do that all day, but you stop and think about it, the guy's entire life has been a sham. They would have people believe that he's some sort of successful businessman. And, of course, you all know about our Busto and all that stuff. You all know about that. He's failed at all. The only success he ever had in business was with when he was with the Texas Rangers. And all they had him on there for was to a way to funnel a bunch of money to him. Had him on the board of directors. All he did was put on a Texas Rangers jacket and go out and sit and watch the ball game. He never helped in any of the decisions of the club. He walked out of there with, what, $21 million and hadn't put hardly anything into it? Just a little gift for George Sr.'s little boy. You know, I didn't care much for Daddy Bush. But hell, he's Albert Einstein compared to this guy. I don't know what got me on this today. I didn't intend to go off about this today like this, but I just I don't know. And you heard Haster today say anyone who had anything to do with this whole thing with Foley's going to have to go if they had information about it. Does that include his own chief of staff, Palmer? I wonder. Does it include Reynolds? Fordham, I guess, talked to the FBI today. I think that's what I heard. And we got Trondle, the former clerk, and Boner. Are these guys all going to be out the door? Are they? And by the way, I'm checking the calendar today. I think I have this right. 1,855 days since Bin Laden's been on the loose. Going to get him dead or alive. 1,855 days later. And it's been 1,257 days since mission accomplished in Iraq. And so far this month, we've been averaging about 4 American soldiers' lives per day. And what was it, last night, they found 60 bodies that had been tortured on the streets of Baghdad. But, of course, there is no civil war going on there. Of course not. And again, we got the Christian right saying, and Foley's just one man. That doesn't mean the whole party still doesn't support our fundy agenda. That doesn't mean that the Republican Party isn't still the party of our values. And while I'm at it, why isn't the fact that Ed Gillespie, former RNC chairman, and Ken Melman, and others... why isn't the fact that they're going on TV and saying Speaker Hastert demanded Foley's resignation being challenged by the media? Why do the guys in the media sit there and swallow that story like it's true? Well, we're tough. We're tough. When we find out one of our guys is bad, when we got a bad apple, why, we just throw him right out there. And Speaker Hastert showed all kinds of guts, but he went to Foley and demanded his resignation. That's a damn lie. It's an outright lie, and they know it. Foley's own office said he resigned immediately after being called by ABC. When they told him they were going to report the story, he sat right there and wrote out his resignation at that moment. Haster did not demand Foley's resignation. He did not. And we had that Ray LaHood, Congressman, where's he from? From Utah?
I give Speaker Hastert high marks for strong leadership. He took care of Tom DeLay, his best friend. When Tom was having ethical problems, the Speaker went to him and asked him to leave.
That's a damn lie. That is a damn lie. It did not happen. It did not happen.
When he wants to retire, they ask him to run for re-election in 2006, even knowing clearly that there's something amiss and wrong here.
But Republican Adam Putnam says there's only one culprit, Foley himself.
The Speaker's office acted proactively, they acted aggressively, and within hours of the explicit emails coming to light, they demanded Foley's resignation.
It's a damn lie. Didn't happen. Did not happen, and yet our little puppy media on there just goes right along with whatever these people have to say. Yes. Well, it's going to be interesting to see how all this plays out. And, of course, there's a lot more going on about that. That Ray LaHood, if I got that right, was he from he's from Illinois. Yeah, I don't know why I came up with Utah. He's from Illinois. But he was on Face the Nation. And he said Hastert showed strong leadership in dealing with the Tom DeLay scandal. He said when DeLay was having ethical problems, the Speaker went to him and told him to leave. It's not true. It's simply not true. Hastert did every damn thing he could to protect DeLay. Everything. He even replaced the Republican chairman of the House Ethics Committee. After the committee kind of admonished DeLay a little bit, yeah, Hastert went in and replaced their leader. And they passed a rule change that would have shielded DeLay from having to step down from his leadership post if he was indicted. They later rescinded it, but Hastert did nothing. Nothing. We all know that when Tom DeLay was in there, he was running the show. Hastert didn't have anything to do with running anything. We all know that. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. We hope you'll give us a call today. Do want to hear from you. What about this... what about this little deal going on over in North Korea right now? What about it? You know, it's as if George christened them and made sure they succeed. He introduced this concept of an axis of evil made up of Iraq, Iran, and North Korea. And now look at this four and a half years later, North Korea has claimed it conducted its first nuclear test, although there is some question about how well it went. It's either a dud or could have been several hundred pounds of TNT, from what I understand now. And, of course, Bush can always claim that he got them to partially disarm. You see, they used, I think, 10% of their nuclear arsenal of plutonium or enriched uranium. I forget which they're using. But they used up 10% of it. So the next thing you'll know, next thing you'll hear is that Bush got them to reduce their arsenal. That's the kind of spin that they put on things. But you know, out of this axis of evil, North Korea has claimed that it conducted its first nuclear test, and then Iran refuses to halt its uranium enrichment program, and Iraq seems to be tipping into a civil war. 3.5 years after a U.S.-led invasion. So this whole concept of the axis of evil thing, it's not going real well, is it? Not going real well at all. Now I know, and I've heard from a lot of you, I know it's tough trying to figure out which one of the Bush administration failures is the worst. The economy, the deficit, the health care issues notwithstanding. You have to agree that their worst failure by far is their failure to make America more safe. When you really stop and look at the whole thing, yes, economically, we're in piss-poor shape, to put it mildly. But our ports, our railways, our airports, our borders, any old way the terrorists want to strike us is wide open to them. The door is wide open, and Bush has squandered hundreds of billions of dollars on a war that has done nothing but put us in even more danger. And they're going to place their bets that we can run on national security and win again. National security. That's what they're betting on. They're going to run another campaign, and they are running it right now, that they are the ones that will protect us. Those cut-and-run Democrats won't protect you. We will. The very issue where their failure is the absolute worst, and will at some point, and you better believe this, will at some point cost us many more American lives. How can they get away with doing this? How can they? Actually, it's simple. They simply use the same old scare tactics that Karl Rove directed in the campaign before, twice. Scared the hell out of the Americans who are not smart enough to figure out that it's the Republicans who are weak on national security. Think about it. They scared the public into backing him on his very own war, the Bush War. They scared the public into voting for him again in 2004, and now they're trying to do it again. They led us into a massive failure in Afghanistan, an even bigger failure in Iraq. Iran, hell, they're giving us the finger because they know there is nothing we can do to stop them from gaining a nuke. And little old half-nuts Kim Jong-il is making a fool out of Bush as well. This axis of evil has turned out to be the axis of insecurity for the United States. All of it under George Bush and his Republican friends' watch. You know, after Bush included him into his fantasy land axis of evil speech, Iran immediately cranked up all their machinery to make more fissionable material, and they now have Bush's gonads in a vice. They absolutely do. Same thing with Kim Jong-il. He sets off what can only be described as an overgrown firecracker, and now Bush and his little friends and playmates are going nuts over it, and they believe the American people will be cowering in their homes, afraid of North Korea, and it's all backfired on Bush, all of it. He's a fool, and anyone who still backs him is a fool as well. I don't care who it is. We need leaders who will sit down and negotiate with these people from a position of strength. It can be done. And I believe it will be done once we get rid of this administration that can only be described as being number one on the list of the most dangerous regimes in the world. Make no mistake about it, they are, and the rest of the world looks at it exactly that way. You go around the world and take a poll. Who's the most dangerous regime in the world? 90% of them are going to tell you it's the United States of America, and that makes me so damned ashamed. It really does. That just plain hurts. I tell you. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I think we're going to go to a break right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Peter said to Paul, you know all those words we wrote are just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to go. But now talking to God is Laurel begging Hardy for a gun. I got a girl in the war, man, I wonder what it is we done. Said to Petey, you gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. But I got a girl in the war, Paul, the only thing I know to do is turn up the music and pray that she makes it through. Cause the keys to the kingdom got locked inside the kingdom. said to Pete, you gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. But I got a girl in the war, Paul, her eyes are like champagne. They sparkle, bubble over in the morning, all you got is rain. They sparkle, bubble over in the morning, all you got is rain. They sparkle, bubble over in the morning, all you got is rain.
Back with you here at 17 minutes until the hour. Let's head on over to the phones and hear what somebody else got in their mind. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yeah, hi, Guy.
And welcome.
I've been meaning to call you for a while.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah. Anyway, I saw that you had lines open, so I just mustered up all my courage and I called you. So, hi.
I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
I was beginning to feel lonesome here today. But
no.
Now I see
you. We're here with you. It's just, you know, I don't have that much to say except to say that I am a conservative, a compassionate conservative, I might add. And my name is Angelica. I'm in the chat room right now. And I'm a conservative in as much as the, I was wondering why you're still playing music. When I was talking, I didn't realize there was the delay. So I shut my...
there's about a 20-second delay, I think.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Anyway, I'm a conservative, and I like to conserve nature and lakes and water and trees and landscapes and architecture and historic things and, you know, art, things like that. And to that extent, yes, I'm a conservative.
A tree hugger.
Yeah. No. I don't hug trees, but I cry every time I hear chainsaws. I don't like that very much.
Well, I'm a tree hugger. I believe in protecting nature's bounty as well. I do.
Exactly.
I'm born and raised on a farm, so good stewardship of the land and all that nature gave us is very, very important to me.
Yeah, and my my father used to walk with me. I live close to the woods, you know, just a few minutes walking distance. So, you know, he walked in the woods every day with me. And so then when I learned about critters and not to hurt them and to let them crawl and not to step on them and, you know, things like that. And I guess those are what I call family values anyway.
Yes. Yeah, I think we've got a completely different set of family values than the current administration does now. It pains me that they call themselves conservatives because I don't know anything that they're conservative about. I really
You know what else pains me is that these nice words, nouns like democracy or Democrats or democratic actually, an adjective and liberal. Which comes from liberty. Why is that a dirty word? Why is that a slander? I don't understand that at all.
I do understand that they've gotten away with it only because they've made it so. And I refuse, and you've probably heard me say it before, but I refuse to be called anything other than a liberal Democrat. That's what I am. Others, you can go ahead and use the word progressive and all that, but I'm so damn stubborn. I'm not going to give up my title liberal Democrat because I am liberal on many, many social issues, and that's what I am. I'm not going to let them do that to me.
Well, and as you shouldn't, because both of them are just really honorable terms as far as I'm concerned.
Thinking, you know, liberal means your mind's open to new ideas,
yeah,
and so forth. If you're, and they're not, that's all.
No, they're not. And anyway, that's what I wanted to say.
Well,
to you.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
And I enjoy your show.
Nice to hear. And where are you calling from?
From Germany.
From where?
Germany. Yes.
Where at in Germany?
The Black Forest.
Well. Okay. Good. It's good to know.
Thank you.
Okay. Very nice to hear from you.
Okay. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Guy. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And let's go over here to the next line. This line one is next. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Guy?
Yes.
Hi, it's Meg. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, I could only hear one end of that conversation with the woman from Germany. That's pretty cool, though, that she was calling from Germany, huh?
Yeah, indeed.
Anyway, I was calling. It just really astounds me that the FBI can all of a sudden snap their fingers, and then, or Congress can snap their fingers, and the FBI is investigating Foley. The ice Foley, so Foley, for what he's doing, but yet, you know, look at the investigations that are going begging that should have been done or should have been happening the last 5 years.
Oh, sure. I mean, the ethics panel is yet to meet during the Bush administration, and look at all the things that have happened.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. It really is.
And then it kills me. And then, not that I think, you know, absolutely they should be investigating and protecting these kids from these predatory senators or congressmen. But, and then Kim Jong-il, you know, and his firecracker, as you say, you know, it's like he's flipping the bird to Bush saying, you know, come on over and get me. Come on over.
Yeah. And, I dare you. I double dog dare you. You know, that's the game they're playing. And so far, Kim Jong-il's winning that game.
Well, when you don't have much of a brain, it's kind of hard as far as, I mean, our president, anyway, if that's what you want to call him, our president doesn't have much of a brain, so he's not much of an opponent.
No.
But did you hear, I heard that there was some kind of non-proliferation treaty or something signed by, you know, a coalition of countries, the United States being one, and also North Korea being another one, and it was signed, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and then shortly after that, Bush apparently imposed some kind of sanction on North Korea that went against the treaty.
No, I did not hear that.
I heard this from somebody, so I don't, you know, I'm not 100% certain about it. I just wondered if you had heard anything.
So
that's one of the reasons, you know, why Kim Jong-il decided to blow off his firecracker.
Yeah, well, I think he's playing a little chess game, and of course, they fully realize what kind of an intellect they're in this chess game with.
Right.
We're at a disadvantage, Bush being our representative at the chessboard. That's for certain. I mean, they can make fun of Kim Jong-il and all of his private life and that he's stupid and all this all they want to, but they've got nothing over on us. I mean, our boy's can't be a whole lot smarter.
Well, in reading a little bit about Kim Jong-il, you know, it's, if you can get past all of the media stuff that you hear, you know, it sounds like he's not a stupid man, and that he's very well educated, which is, you know, maybe Bush has a degree from Yale, but, you know, obviously he didn't learn much there.
No.
And so I think that, it would just be nice to know, what are we dealing with here? You know, you hear about how crazy Kim Jong-il is, but is he really? You know, sounds to me like maybe he's feeling, you know, backed up against the wall, and, you know, he's got millions of people he's trying to feed or you know, that need to be fed, whether he's trying to feed them or not. That's a, that's another story. But
well,
you know,
you look at all this.
Really
you look at all this phony outrage you hear from the neocons. Oh, they're outraged that Chavez said something bad about Bush. They're outraged that this government or that government official said something bad about Bush. Bush started the whole thing, the axis of evil. They seem to forget that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's so true. I mean, you know, when he ever coined that phrase, the axis of evil, I mean, that was just asking for trouble. And but I guess it's just that false bravado that he has, just, you know, just being such a big shot there.
Yep.
And thinking, you know, that he's better than everybody else.
I'm a long, tall Texan, and I'm tough. I'm really tough.
It's very, very frightening when, he just doesn't understand at all what he's dealing with. And, you know, not only is he ruining our country, he's ruining the rest of the world.
No, and you know, when I heard that the other day about his father telling him that he ought to consult with Prince Bandar about Korea, and he asked Prince Bandar, why should I care about, why should I care about Korea? And Bandar says, well, for one thing, you've got 37,000 American soldiers sitting there on the border.
Right.
I'm thinking, whoa.
Right. It just shows you the ignorance that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, ignorance and just, you know, there's no intellectual curiosity. He has no idea what's going on in the world. No idea, you know, except for the people around him. So Prince Bandar is giving him, you know, foreign advice on foreign policy.
Yeah.
Whoa.
A Saudi prince given. But we know that Bush is a pseudo intellectual. We did hear that he was reading Albert Camus this summer, you know.
Yeah, which is absolutely ridiculous.
When donkeys fly.
Yeah, you know, he'd be lucky if he read Dr. Seuss.
Yeah.
You know, I can't even read that.
That's my pet goat, you know, that's right up his alley.
Yeah, but really it's a joke. It's a joke. I mean, this man doesn't read. I mean, you know, he ran how many companies into the ground prior to taking over the United States of American country? And
several.
Yeah, and you know what? He's running this country just like he ran his companies. And trouble is, there's nobody to bail us out.
That's right. We're on our own.
So,
hey,
yeah.
Thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, talk bye-bye. To you later. Bye-bye.
And let's go over to line two. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. Bill from Toledo.
Hi, Bill.
Say, I think maybe I'm kind of off subject today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I wanted to talk money with you.
Money?
Yeah. Do you know what kind of deficit Clinton left Bush when he came to office?
What kind of a deficit?
Yeah.
I don't believe there was a deficit, was there?
Well,
you mean a trade deficit?
Well, no, not trade deficit, just regular money that we owe other nations.
Oh, a national debt.
The national debt. That's what I was getting at. Now, you're an old farm boy.
Yeah, I think it was around, $6 trillion, and now it's up to $9.
Oh, God, Guy. It's jump change.
Well, yeah. I mean, a trillion here, a trillion there, so what?
No, it's, he left him $20 trillion. That's what this country was in ad hoc to.
$20 trillion?
Do you know what it is now?
No.
Are you sitting down, aren't you?
Where did you get these figures?
Well, I get them from some pretty reliable.
You're scaring me.
Yeah, you should be scared because it floored me. I said, well, I got to call him and give the... You know, I'm the numbers guy.
Yeah.
No, these are pretty reliable figures I'm giving you. $43 trillion.
Well, I don't have my calculator sitting here right now, but divided by 300 million.
Can I help you?
Divided by 300 million, that comes up to a lot of money per head.
Can I give you an idea how much $1 trillion is, if you want to?
Go ahead.
It'd be a stack of $1,000 bills. It'd be 20 miles high. Or, excuse me, 80 miles high.
80 miles of $1,000 bills.
Not stacked end to end on top of each other.
So,
and NASA's entire budget for 40 years is $600 billion.
Hmm.
And I'll give you this last one because I thought this was pretty good. $1 trillion is more in the combined gross revenue, not sales, of Walmart, Exxon, and General Motors and Ford combined.
Well,
that's a trillion.
That's
$43 trillion.
That's a bunch of money.
How mean are you going to pay this off, guy?
Well, we're not.
We're not.
I'm going to be long gone before that's ever paid off. And just think the interest we're paying on it right now is approximately 20% of our national budget every year is just going to pay the interest, and it's getting higher every year.
And, you know, guy, one last thing on that stock market. You know, everybody's raving about this great stock market.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, if you would take and turn that over into what gold has done, it's the stock market's been cut in half because gold's over close to $600 an ounce. And if you would try to buy the Dow with what you had in 2000 with gold now, you wouldn't even get half. So, I mean, if you start comparing like we did, you was talking about, you know, buying an ice cream cone and what you pay for different things, that stock market's, that's all fabricated. I mean, those numbers aren't real.
It doesn't mean a whole lot to the American public. It really doesn't.
No, I don't have that too much into the market.
No.
And, I mean, but that money that this country is owed and what we're racking up just day after day over there in Iraq, and plus other things. This guy has led us down a road. Like you said, guy, name one thing that you can say that he's done good. Have you got that caller yet?
No. I had a guy send me
he's
an email.
Not on the other line. Should I hang up?
Well, I had a guy send me an email. Mike, our friend in Texas, said that he would name some things, but I wouldn't believe him anyway, so he wasn't going to bother to do so.
Huh.
Yeah, I wish you would have named him and given me a chance on him. So,
but listen, you're up against your break, guy. I just thought I'd call you.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Hey, okay. You do know that John Denver wrote a song about Toledo.
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Saturday night in Toledo is like being no place at all.
Oh, the best one is. Oh, and one last thing, guy, real quick. He was talking about Michigan bordering right up against Toledo.
Sylvania, and, actually.
Well, you know your way around pretty good. You know, you can walk into Michigan through a one-lane road. If there's two cars, one coming one way and one going the next way, you can't. You'd have to. Somebody's got to move, and you can walk into Michigan.
Wow.
Or drive in. Have you ever heard of the Lost Peninsula?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had
And we have to remember the old Ohio-Michigan War way back when, too. It was, 3 days, I think. They fought over Toledo, you know.
Yeah, there was a big hurricane out there. A tornado. But I thought we was talking about Michigan and the borders and that. And I said, well, maybe you know something about that loss. Listen, guy, I'm going to let you go.
Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, sure thing. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I went to a concert one time in Toledo, John Denver years ago. All right. All you people in the chat room that hate John Denver music, go ahead and say so. But anyway, I went to a John Denver concert, and he played this song Saturday night in Toledo. It's like being no place at all, and the crowd went absolutely nuts. He did. Hey, we're coming up against news at the top of the hour. We are. And I'd like you to stay tuned, because right after the news, we're going to have Clint Curtis on. Talk a little bit about his campaign and some black box voting issues and all that. So don't go away. Listen to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. The UN Security Council again meeting behind closed doors today to consider possible sanctions against North Korea because of its nuclear weapons test. China has changed its earlier position and is now joining other world powers and calling for a tough response, but not a military one. Meanwhile, there are hints from North Korea that another test of a nuclear-tipped missile may soon be taking place. With the elections just 4 weeks away in this country, and new polls show that the Mark Foley sex scandal is affecting voters and the Democrats are likely to win back control of the Congress, a CNN poll also shows a majority of Americans feel that House Speaker Dennis Hastert should resign over his handling of the Foley scandal. Hastert's refusing to step down, but is saying this morning that anyone on his staff proven to have been involved in a cover-up will be fired. 10 people killed, dozens wounded in a Baghdad car bomb today, and another 60 tortured bodies have been found dumped throughout Baghdad the past 24 hours. With sectarian violence on the increase, the Iraqi government continues to work on a plan to end those attacks. Require that all Baghdad checkpoints are manned by both Shiite and Sunni Arab troops. The government is also setting up neighborhood committees to police their own districts and a central committee that will coordinate with Iraqi forces and the prime minister. The Iraqi government continuing to investigate Sunday night's food poisoning incident in an Iraqi police mess hall that sickened hundreds of officers. But while they originally suspected sabotage, they now believe the incident may have been caused by negligence. U.S. Armed Forces are reportedly back on track with regards to their recruiting goals and have met their targets for 2006. To do so, however, the Army did lower its requirements, increasing the maximum allowable age and lowering the acceptable scores on standardized aptitude tests. Following the failure of his latest efforts to form a coalition government, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is reportedly considering appointing an emergency government or calling early elections. An education summit is now underway in Washington, called by President Bush following deadly school shootings in three states the past 2 weeks. Thousands of people, including a foreign diplomat, were in attendance at today's funeral in Moscow for prominent reporter Anna Politkovskaya, a frequent critic of the Putin government, whose murder over the weekend has been condemned around the world. Prosecutors say her death was likely connected to her work. Putin says an investigation is underway and that her crime will not go unpunished. And a former executive with Dow Chemical has been named to head the EPA regional office in Seattle. This is the Quality News Network, Science and Business, coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
India's Supreme Court is ordering the country's zoos to stop breeding animals because of allegations from PETA, People for Ethical Treatment of Animals, that India's zoos are already overcrowded. Ford says it's going to start offering buyout packages next week for its hourly workers, the goal being to cut 30,000 blue-collar jobs by the end of 2008. In Atlanta, a federal court trial for three people charged with conspiring to steal Coca-Cola trade secrets will start in November. The defendants are former Coca-Cola employees accused of trying to sell a confidential material to Pepsi. A judge has found Qualcomm guilty of patent infringement in a case filed by Broadcom concerning radio chips which transmit wireless calls. Winter heating bills could be slightly lower this season across the country, at least for those who use natural gas or propane to heat their homes. For those using fuel oil, the bills will likely be a little bit higher. And Sprint Nextel's chairman is stepping down at the end of the year. So far, no replacement has been named for Tim Donahue, who was chief executive of Nextel before Sprint acquired the company last year for $35 billion. Light sweet crude oil is trading up 65 cents a barrel this hour at $60.65. On Wall Street, the markets are all lower. The Dow Jones Industrials are down 21 points at 11,836. Nasdaq is down 6 at 2,305, and S&P 500 down 1. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Diana Walter. It's now 5 minutes past the hour.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe
Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along with us here on the Guy James Show this afternoon. And as promised, I'll get right to it right now. We promised you we'd have Clint Curtis on with us here, and we do. Clint, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay. Glad to have you along with us here this afternoon on the Guy James Show. How's the campaign going?
It seems to be going pretty well.
We're and folks, for those of you not completely immersed in politics, we're talking about the 24th district here in Florida, and you most certainly will understand that we're talking about running against one Mr. Tom Feeney, who's a definite burr under this Democratic saddle in the Congress. He's got quite a reputation, your opponent.
Yes, he's. Every time there's corruption, he seems to be right there with it, whether it's DeLay or Cunningham or Foley or vote fraud. Or he's really part of the leadership when it comes to that sort of thing.
Well, I think he even liked to play golf with Jack Abramoff, did he not?
That's true. I almost forgot Jack Abramoff. He's the last remaining member of the Abramoff golf tour.
Have you played golf with Jack Abramoff?
No, I missed that.
I haven't either.
I missed that.
I don't think there's going to be a lot of people playing any golf with Jack Abramoff for quite a while now.
That's a good thing.
I should explain to our listeners that many of you, I'm hearing an echo in the background. Anybody else hearing that? You got a radio on there by any chance, Clint?
No.
Oh, okay. Don't know where that echo's coming from. I apologize for that, folks. Anyway, we were talking about the 24th District of Florida here, and Clint, I think, has got a good chance of winning that. You've got quite a campaign cranked up over there. How's the campaign going so far? Where are you at on it?
It's going pretty well. We still lack the big resources that Tom Feeney has, but so far he hasn't used his resources real effectively. He's spent about $1.2 million so far trying to beat us, and he keeps putting out these really strange-looking ads. He just kind of, doctor's photos and doctor's facts and puts out the strangest ads that no one seems to understand. I get calls from all over the country going, is this an incumbent running against you? Because this isn't the way it's done.
Well, he's got quite a little attack campaign going against you right now, does he not?
Yes, that's basically his smear campaign. He's trying to basically doctor little photos up and put 10 hats on me and put me on the top of Hugh Hefner's body and saying we're endorsed by porn magazines and just about everything he can say, he's saying it. But basically everyone's looking at that and going, this is insane. Why are you doing this? Why are you not debating? Why are you not addressing the issues? Since I testified against him before Congress, I passed a polygraph, we are requesting that he take a polygraph to those things that I testified against, because that's the bottom line. Who's telling the truth?
Right.
It's either him, he did nothing and he's an angel, or it's me. So it's real simple.
And Clint, for the new people listening that don't know the story, tell them what we're talking about here as far as this this testimony you gave and why you're talking about which one of you is telling the truth. Tell them about what. I'll let you do it. You do a better job of it than I do.
I doubt that. But back in 2000, I worked with Tom Feeney, and I worked for a company in Oviedo, Florida. And early on, when he first came in, he requested a prototype for a voting machine software program that would allow someone to come in and actually flip a vote. So you could walk up, any voter that knew the combination could make the vote come out any way they wanted it to come out. And at the time, I thought, well, he's trying to basically stop vote fraud. So I wrote that. I wrote up how you would stop it, which all you have to do is have a paper ballot that's printed out and then audit the machine against the ballot, and you're set to go, which is what we're not allowed, by the way.
Yeah.
But the owner of the machine, the owner of the company told me, no, that's not what we're going to use it for. This is actually for manipulating the vote in South Florida. So I assumed they were nuts and they weren't going to be able to do that, because in order to do that, you have to get the Democrats to accept the fact that there is a machine that's going to be made where they don't see the hardware, they can't look at the software, they can't verify the vote totals, and the machine's actually made by someone who is basically promoting the other party. So the odds in that happening are what?
Yeah.
None? No. Apparently the odds in that happening are absolute, because it's exactly what we have. So I testified before Congress on that and other things. We had a...
And Feeney, and again, let's be clear here. Feeney's the one that originally asked to have you do this.
Yes.
And now
he directly asked to do it and laid out the particular scope he wanted to develop the program.
And he completely denies any knowledge of this now.
Yes.
And he won't take a lie detector test.
Won't take that lie detector test. His theory is that I must be crazy, therefore he can't take a polygraph. Although what I don't understand is, even if someone else is crazy, what's that got to do with him passing a polygraph test?
How long does it take to take a polygraph test?
Half hour.
I would think a busy congressman, in order to clear his name, if he was interested in actually clearing his name, that wouldn't be too much to ask. They could probably come to his office and give him a polygraph test.
And think how much cheaper it would be. He could have saved $1.2 million so far.
Yeah, wouldn't have to spend. So he's heaping all this money on you. I know how that is in Florida. The Republican Party in Florida has got tons of money, and all the candidates do here. So you're facing an uphill battle money-wise.
Yes.
And he's...
But the good part is...
Yeah.
We didn't have to actually... A lot of candidates don't have a lot of money, and they don't have any name recognition. So what generally happens is the incumbent Republican just ignores them. They won't debate them. They won't talk to them. They won't even show up at events with them. And then they kind of just go away. Because you don't have the money to get your own name out... Everybody sees that other name, and that's how they vote, and you win by default. But what Feeney's done is actually promoted me, because even though he's putting out these, you know, slanderous things about me, he's always got it with my name on it and his name printed really little in the bottom.
Yeah, you know how it says, just so you spell my name right.
Pretty much, because people at least acknowledge it, and they look at it, and they go, well, there must be something here. Where there's smoke, there's fire, and this guy's going crazy.
Well, the other thing is, Clint, besides that, he's really laid into you lately on that and spent a ton of money doing it, which is very suspect in the minds of many voters. You have been a tireless campaigner. You have been everywhere. I don't know anybody that's done more with less funds than you have done.
Well, we use a lot of volunteer work. Because basically we have to campaign against Feeney, and we have to campaign against the machines, because even though we don't know that he has the ability to make that flip, you know, he can request the prototype without having any clue about where the buttons are when you're done. So we don't know how much he could actually flip the vote. We have to run like he could flip it at will. So we have a system out there called VoteNow2006.net, which allows us to collect information so that we know how many voters are voting for us in each precinct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So by collecting all that information, we can now tie the voters to the votes, and if they flip the election, we not only know where, we know how to contact the people and prove that the flip is done. That makes it very hard to get away with.
Excellent. Excellent. I wish everybody was going to be so diligent about that as you are. Do you think the black box voting issue is going to be a big issue in this upcoming election throughout the country?
There's so much wrong that it's hard to say. When you've got Iraq and you've got people dying and everybody, I just saw a latest poll said 89% was going to vote based on their feelings on Iraq. So everyone knows it's, you know, spiraling down into a civil war, that we've really messed it up, and that we aren't trying to get out, because we could get out. So that is probably going to take the top position.
Well, as well it should right now, but the thing is, how can we be a free country, a free democracy, a fully functional democracy, without knowing that our votes are absolutely sacred and being protected in every way possible? Clint, here's the frustrating part about this. I personally have probably talked to oh, maybe 15 or 16 people in the House of Representatives over this and a couple of senators. And I have yet to talk to one that will sit down and take this issue seriously. Do you have any explanation for that?
Well, a lot of them want to deny it happened because even though it's in their face and they see it, they want to pretend it isn't real because it calls into question the legitimacy of the last 6 years. And if we have an illegitimate government, then we have, you know, 3,000 dead in Iraq, and we have two people on the Supreme Court that shouldn't be there, and we have all these things coming down that are trying to take away our freedoms, and it's all being done by an illegitimate government. And that's really hard for a lot of people to get their head around.
Yeah.
They would prefer to close their eyes and say, no, no, that can't be right, even though it's obvious that it is. But there are a lot of people that do care and are trying to do it, and even if they don't want to come right out and, you know, call it fraud, I can do that because I sat there, I wrote the prototype. I can do that. They have to make another step to do that. They have to accept the facts and review them on their own to make that leap because they don't know firsthand.
Yeah.
So they kind of like to sit back and go, well, I don't know, but we should have verified systems, so we're going to put out these bills to get them, like House Bill 550. It's been sitting out there since I testified before Congress. And it's not gone anywhere, but it has like 180 co-sponsors, more than almost any other bill that's ever been introduced, but it's never come out of committee.
Right, right. Well,
and they had an emergency paper ballot bill sponsored by Barbara Boxer and a few other people. It suffers the same fate.
So well, I know you've been. I know you've been around and talked to folks about it. I think didn't we meet up in Washington a while back at that Take Back America conference?
Yes, we did.
I think. Yeah, I was thinking that's where we had talked before. Plus, you've been on the show a couple of times besides that. But did you have a chance while you were in Washington to talk to anybody about this issue?
Yes, and they were concerned, but they can't do a lot. I mean, John Conyers is still researching everything and still trying to investigate, but as long as the Democrats do not have the right number of seats in Congress, then you know, we have issues. We can't get anything done.
Right. Well, Clint, tell us a little bit about. Well, I want to ask you some questions. Some things that you stand for. Health care. When you get to Congress.
Well, basically, what we need is we need a universal health care. And, you know, we've needed that for a long time now. We could get that by restructuring the free trade agreements, and we would have more than enough money to cover both the cost of universal health care as well as covering the Social Security problem so that our seniors are protected. So it's really not a hard issue to fix. It's just a matter of making it a priority and doing it.
Especially if we're not spending several hundred billion dollars on an unnecessary war in Iraq.
Yes, that can always help.
Yes.
If you can save $200 million a day, there's a lot of ways to spend that money. But we also have to get the deficit down. We can't keep running. You know, we can't have a $9 trillion deficit.
No.
You know, if the national debt's $9 trillion, that's a bad thing. That eventually has to come back and be paid.
Well, I'm reading that we're spending 20% of our 20% of our money every year just on debt service on that national debt. And that's just... Why, you know, that's absurd, really, when you stop and think about it. How about making our country safe? As you know, nobody thinks anymore, or at least will admit, that this Iraq war is making our country safe, and we are vulnerable to terrorists in this country. What ideas do you have for making us safer in our own land here?
Well, first of all, we have to actually work with Americans, because right now we've taken port security and we've farmed it out to, you know, other countries. We basically, the ports in Miami, which used to inspect nuclear material coming in from, you know, the Bahamas and such, were originally done by the Coast Guard. We have now stripped the Coast Guard of that responsibility and farmed that out to a company from Hong Kong. Not only have we done that, we have made it illegal for our own Coast Guard to check and see if they're doing it right.
Right.
All this port security with all these countries that are not from this country do not even have to keep their records in this country, so we can't really even check their work. They're not even subject necessarily to American courts. Because they are overseas company and their records are overseas. We've got to stop that. We've got to make sure that all our ports are covered, all of our security is covered by Americans working for American companies.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree on that. It just seems as though we're so vulnerable right now in so many different ways. Our railways, our nuclear power plants, our borders, I don't know. Seems to me like an easy job for a terrorist to get into this country and do some serious damage right now if they wanted to. And I don't see a big effort taking place within this administration to put a stop to it, really.
Oh, no, they haven't even tried.
No.
I mean, our borders are just porous. They have been the whole time. 6 million people cross the border illegally every year.
I have one of my listeners wanting to know, looking at the chat room here, wanting to know what other Democrats do you hold in high regard in the Congress? You spoke well of John Conyers. Are there any others?
I don't know. I was a Republican for a long, long time, so I actually know more of them, but I wasn't all that political. So really, the only ones I knew were like McCain and that sort of thing.
I don't know that much about the Democratic
leadership.
A guy that wants to go to Congress that's not partisan?
Not partisan, yeah. I guess I'd be a nonpartisan Democrat.
You confound me. You really do. You might actually think more of what you need to get done than you would about worrying about the party. That's just amazing.
Wouldn't that be strange?
Well, it most certainly would.
If we did more of that, we'd be better off.
How about term limits, Clint?
Term limits? Term limits make less sense than to actually restructure the way that people get elected. In other words, campaign finance reform. If we made it so that it was a level playing field, because right now it's not, the incumbent has the enjoy $1 million-plus run against anyone running against them, you know, unless they're like a millionaire or they're backed by a particular party. If you're backed with $1 million from the party probably owns your vote anyway, so you're still not getting someone who is, you know, really working for their district. If we changed to a system where campaigns were publicly financed, both sides had exactly the same money, had exactly the same ability to do the advertising, if everything was equal, you wouldn't need term limits because you could easily remove an incumbent with a challenger that was of value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you don't need term limits. The only advantage of term limits, and usually in term limit situations, what happens is that, let's say you had three terms on a representative. Well, after three terms, they go to the Senate, or they become a governor, or they become, you know, they just kind of change hats rather than ever really get out of office.
Sure, sure.
Musical chairs.
Well, and I've always suggested for the past few years as well to get a couple of big D9 caterpillars and head down K Street and just level it. I would really like to see that pushed out of town. I really would. Clint, we've got, about four weeks to go or so until the election. I know you've got a lot to do before now and between now and then, and you've got your all-volunteer campaign out working hard. What are you going to concentrate on in these next 4 weeks? What's your battle plan?
We're still concentrating on collecting the votes and getting that out. We should have enough money to start our radio advertising about 2 or 3 weeks before the end of the election. So that will give us a little bit of push. I mean, we can't do as much as Feeney can because we don't have the money. But, you know, that's where we'll have to concentrate our role. And we're just going to get out and see people.
Oh, I've got
an interesting thing.
I've got a question that came from somebody by way of email here right now. Mr. Feeney, your opponent is a deputy whip in the Congress, is he not?
He is.
And another gentleman from Florida that we know of was a deputy whip up until recently.
That would be Mr. Foley.
Is his district adjoining yours by any chance?
It is separated.
Separated, okay. A little bit.
Separated. They did work on the same committees. They did work together. There is rumors. I hear rumors every day from people coming up that said that, you know, Feeney knew about this a long time ago and was warning his own people but didn't come out with it. But so far, those are just rumors.
Yeah.
We have requested that he come forward and tell us when he knew of Feeney's sexual predatory behavior and what he did about it.
Right.
You know, if he didn't know until it got released, that's perfectly fine.
Sure. Sure. Well, if it just come out and let us know, that's all.
Just come out and let us know. And as part of our polygraph test, and so many people are asking that now, we're going to include that in there so that he can come forward and have a perfect venue to say, I didn't know.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And if he did know, you know, then he needs to come forward with that, because that actually, you have to place your political partisanship above the safety of minors. Because if he's out there doing it to the pages, who else is he out there doing it to?
Well,
can't just let that continue.
You know, the big problem here is the state of Florida and the district over there, that the 24th, deserves better representation than they've been getting. The people of Florida deserve more. And I'm sure a lot of them just don't realize the depths of the corruption of Mr. Feeney. And if you don't, I would suggest that you head on over to a group called Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, and you will find that I think Mr. Feeney is number three on their list of most corrupt politicians in America. And and don't fall for the baloney that this organization is a left-wing, a left-wing George Soros organization. It is not. There are Republicans on that list as well. So they are to be trusted. Clint, I want to wish you the best of luck in your campaign. Keep at it. We'll keep pushing it. ClintCurtis.com, right?
Yes, ClintCurtis.com.
Everybody go over there and throw some money in the pot, will you? Advertising costs money. He's about to start out a radio advertising campaign. Let's try and help out and get a better man, get the best man in office over in the 24th District of Florida. Clint, thanks for being on the program today.
Thank you, sir.
Best of luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Man, I'll tell you, if there's a district in Florida that needs better representation, we need Feeney out of Congress real bad, real bad. He's absolutely bad news. Absolutely bad news. Somebody asked me on the chat room, who would I like to see as Democrat for president in 08? Okay, well, you're going to corner me here, but I'm not one of these ones that'll be wishy-washy about something. I'll tell you. I endorsed somebody in the last campaign, and I'm sure he might be running again. Who do I think would make the best president out of anybody that I know of? And I know this man personally, and I know him to be absolutely 100% honest and forthright, and has the best interest of the United States at heart before his party, before anything, is Dennis Kucinich. And I'm a realist, and I understand that Dennis Kucinich would have almost no chance of getting elected. He doesn't have the good looks of John Edwards. He's as eloquent as anybody. He's a great thinker, and he's above all just a great American, Dennis Kucinich. But I'm a realist, and I understand. But anyway, I was asked. There's my answer. We'll see what happens between now and then. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
Shoo-a-doo, da-da-da, do-a-doo, da-da-da-da-da. do. How come you know, though it's just 10 till 2? They say that you know the winner 4 hours before dinner. Did not know a computer pro can now program clairvoyance too.
Touch screen, you leave no paper trail. It's a good thing that you can never fail. You gave Bush 4007 in a town of just 11. But you can't speak, so there's less to leak, and we can't find who programmed you. Kiss my booty. That is unkind. Didn't think they'll mind the degree that I left on you.
Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Hope you'll decide to join us. We've got, about 26 minutes left in the program. Plenty of time for you to call in and let your opinions be known. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. The official Guy James Show puppy running around here a minute ago brought Kukla to the studio today. Our little 9-month-old Yorkie now, getting all grown up and everything, but what a wonderful little dog. I'm talking about personal things. I'm the type of guy that never liked little dogs. Never did like little dogs. Always liked big manly dogs, you know, like Great Danes and Shepherds and all that sort of thing. And end up with this little Yorkie here a while back named Kukla, and bring her over to the studio once in a while. And she just has a heyday running around the studio and into the outer office and all that, just a riot. Good little puppy. And now she has a little friend. Yeah, have a little 9-week. For somebody that didn't like little dogs, now there's a little companion, a little 9-week-old Yorkie named Sophie. So Sophie and Kukla have a good time running around and playing together, but we didn't bring Sophie to the studio today. She's at home. So anyway, there we have it. Show's going to the dogs, you know. Hey, 866-546-5254, and we hope you'll give us a call. I heard these people talking about family values again, and it just drives me nuts every time I hear it. I don't think there's anything that sets me off any more than hearing Republicans talking about family values. It's such a phony issue with them. The way I see it, I have an old friend who's been blogging for a long time, and we've agreed on this, that there are about 5 basic conservative values. Number one in the conservative values is that they hate liberals. That's number one. Number two on the list, they really care about little other than themselves and their wallets. That is a fact. You can see that in almost all their actions. Number three, demeaning minorities and immigrants and foreigners is a big issue with them. That's one of their conservative values. And number four, they like to promote the discrimination against gays. That's a big conservative value to them. And they like to promote the proliferation of handguns and assault rifles as well. So, that's the conservative values. There are five human values that people ought to care about. You know, everybody ought to have a secure job with a future that pays well enough to support a family. They should have affordable, accessible health care, whether out of work or poor or already ill. Everybody ought to have a free education for their children, also free of other people's inclinations to the supernatural. I believe in that. Number four, they need time off to spend with family members during critical times such as a birth or sickness or death without getting fired. And number five, neighborhoods free of gun-wielding lunatics. So, you see, there's a huge difference between the five basic conservative values and the five human values, and it makes me want to puke every time I hear him come up with it. Well, family values is a Republican. We own the family values issue. Bull. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Big part of your California fan club here, Guy.
Hi, Dave. How are you today?
Oh, really great. Really great. I so much appreciate you, more than anybody, expose the hypocrisy that is today's Republicans better than anybody, and it is so valid and so accurate. One that I'm sure you're aware of, but I feel it's very significant, one of the latest hypocrisies. This Mark Foley thing is very embarrassing to the party. So what have they done? They've changed his party. They've made him into a Democrat. So.
Yeah. Yeah, Fox News did. They did.
Yeah.
They're trying to say that was an accident.
Yes, and then on the Democrat, the Republican talk shows, radio shows, they're playing it down like it's really just a little frolicking about,
You know what else I saw this week on the news? That Fred Phelps, that crazy guy that goes around, they had him listed as a Democrat this week. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Saw that. Listed him as a Democrat. And I thought, oh, please.
I wonder what he's having to say about this Republican Foley.
Oh, man. Yeah. he even about had a coronary over that, I'll bet. But, yeah. That name comes up, and Fred Phelps. I'm sorry I even brought the name up, but he's out there, so yeah.
Yes. He refers to a bit of tastelessness there, but I so much appreciate your program, Guy.
Well, thank you, Dave. And we got a big noise in the background there. I don't know what that is.
I started to open the door, and somebody's got a big vacuum going in the hallway.
I see. Okay. Yeah, vacuums do make noise. Clint Curtis, I'm starting to think he's going to have a good shot at Feeney.
Feeney, he's got to be a lot better than Feeney. I was trying to get you to try to find out if he has given up those Republican core values that he had.
Oh, who knows? But I tell you what, I got a chance to talk to him a lot in Washington just a few months
back.
I got to know Clint fairly well. And
he's an honest man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, to the core. And the idea that he could possibly unseat Feeney is just delicious to me. And I know with all that's happened here as of late with the Foley thing and all that, I think he's got a pretty good shot. I do. And if he does, if he wins that seat, it would be the upset of the year because he's facing massive money, massive money.
But people must have some clue as to how corrupt Feeney is. I mean, he's right up there in the top. That should be exposed every way he can do it.
And you know, the amazing part is you go over into that guy's district and talk to Republicans over there. Oh, well, that's all baloney. Feeney's not corrupt. Nobody wants to believe that their congressman is corrupt. I guess the people out in Duke Cunningham's district. I'll bet you a dollar that if Tom DeLay was running, he'd get reelected in his district.
Oh, man.
I think he would. I think the people just don't, you know, they don't want to give up. The hardcore ones don't.
Don't put a whole lot of faith in Texans or Floridians right now. Huh?
Well, we've had our problems here in Florida. I'll tell you what. I was watching a comedy show the other night. Was it The Daily Program or I forget who it was. It was one of the shows that I try and watch once in a while. And they said, thank God for Florida. We wouldn't have a whole lot to talk about. Just seemed like every slime ball thing that happens in America practically happens in Florida lately. Gee whiz, it's terrible. But
yeah. They've made it a law now, I understand, that all absentee ballots must be counted on D-Bowl vote counting machines, and once that's done, it is now illegal to call for a manual recount.
Yes.
It's kind of an interesting law to make.
Yeah, you might say that. Dave, it is fascinating. I was talking to Clint about that, and you probably heard. I've talked to a lot of our congressmen. I've talked to a lot of their staffers and their chiefs of staffs and so forth, and it absolutely flat out amazes me that the black box voting machine issue is something that just does not resonate with those people hardly at all. And I don't know what to say.
It doesn't resonate with the congressman. That's what you got to be hearing congressmen saying. If this is election fraud, scream it from the top of the soapbox. They don't.
And they don't. If somehow, and I think we've learned this lesson here in the last 2 weeks, or almost 2 weeks, if somehow we could get sex mixed in with it somehow, then we could get the public and the congressmen to talk about it. We have to think of a way to do that, Dave.
Well, stay with your good efforts, Guy.
Thanks, Dave.
I so much appreciate you.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. Let's go over to line, let's see, what do we got, line three here. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Good afternoon, Guy. This is Albert. How are you?
Good.
Yeah. What are we going to do about these voting machines? I mean, it's almost like, how can you vote on something that you know is just going into a vortex of lies and corruption? These things are killing our country, and they just... You know, and I mean, even Fox comes out with a report saying these things are a bad idea. I just don't comprehend how, you know, our law and our legislatures, which are supposed to be, you know, responsible to listen to what we have to say about things, I don't understand how they can rationalize ahead with these things.
I'm just bowled over by it. I really am. I cannot... I just cannot understand. I mean, I know, you know, and you know, Americans are, we're impatient and we want to know all about the election results as soon as possible. But hey, in Germany, I believe it's Germany, they still vote the old-fashioned way. They wait
Canada.
A few days. Yeah, and they wait a few days to find out the results. Why can't we?
Canada does it by paper, and they count the votes by hand the day of the election.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, there's 17 million people in Canada, you know. And I don't understand where, I mean, can you imagine, I mean, Guy, can you imagine if, a key Democratic, you know, contributors owned D-Bowl machines? Can you imagine if it was these guys owned these machines and, like, these guys said, we promise we're going to give the electoral votes of Ohio to Kerry? Could you imagine what the right-wing attack machine would be screaming about? I mean, Foley wouldn't even be, we wouldn't ever talk about him. We'd still be talking about, we'd be talking about nothing but the voting machine.
Yep.
We'd be talking about nothing but the Democratic corruption of the Democratic process by owning these companies that are, you know, putting out these faulty machines. I mean, talking about it is non-existent. I mean, it happens, but, you know, you talk to the average person in the street, like I often do, and they don't. They really look at you with a blank stare, like, huh?
Do you feel the same way when you go vote? I don't. I don't feel the same way as I used to. I go in there with apprehensions and push the touch screen and wonder if this is counting for anything. I really do.
I live in Wisconsin. We still vote the real way, which is a paper and pen, you know, pen and paper, and
you grab your thing, you put it in the lockbox, and you remember the lockbox? Yeah, we put it in the lockbox, and then our votes are counted by that, and then the numbers are sent, and then if there has to be a recount, they can just open up the box of where all the votes were and count them again. So, I mean, I don't know if these voting machines are going to come into my area. I hope they don't, because I don't know if I don't want to feel what you feel when you go in there and push the button and say,
I don't like it. I don't like it. I went just in there a few weeks ago for our primary and I voted and I think, well, I wonder if this is on the up and up and it'll be on my mind when I go in a few weeks and vote in the general. I mean, I have no faith in it. I have no faith at all. And you know what I think it's going to take? It's going to take the Republicans thinking they got screwed royal. And then maybe something will be done about
possible?
It.
Well, is that even possible?
I don't know.
I mean, they're
that's
the
a
ones
good
that,
question.
That run these local groups. They're the ones that own these, Diebold and Choice Point, and they're the ones that make up the phony felon lists, and they're the ones that do all these things. I mean, is it possible for them to really get screwed over? Is that why they have such a milquetoast, weak-kneed, rebuttals to this whole Foley thing? I mean, I'm sick of this Foley thing. I can't anymore. I really can't.
I'm tired of it. I wish, they promised us they would get this ethics committee together and the FBI and do it in a very, very short time. And I surely do hope they get it wrapped up quick. Just get us a quick answer whether or not the hierarchy of the party was involved in it and get it over with. That's the quicker the better.
The quicker the better for our democracy. All right, thanks, Guy.
Hey, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
We get mail, and I got a letter from a gentleman by the name of Lindell Sargent. Or maybe that's a gal. I'm not sure. Lindell Sargent email. You liberals got a case of stupid like I have never seen. I'm listening to your show for the first time via the Internet. You're making fun of Rush Limbaugh. Your voice can't touch an inch of Limbaugh's audience. Well, now, that is a fact. My voice cannot touch an inch of Limbaugh's audience because Limbaugh's audience is a bunch of ass-kissing, stupid, let's say it how it is, stubborn morons that wouldn't believe the truth if it hit them in the face. So is right there that my voice can't touch an inch of Limbaugh's audience. I know some people that listen in Limbaugh, and they have their own set of facts. Everybody's got opinions, but they've got their own set of facts, and yours don't matter. It goes on to say, you're a nobody, you're out of power, and you will remain out of power because you don't have a clue as to what makes the heartbeat of America beat. It's hilarious to watch you people fall. Keep it up. You're doing a great job. Okay. Lindell, first of all, we did comment about the Limbaugh situation there. And right after saying you liberals got a case of stupid like I've never seen, he says, he or she says, I'm listening to your show for the first time via the Interrent. You liberals got a case of stupid. And then he says, listening via the Interrent, Interrent. And, there's just one grammatical mistake after another in here. But, that's how it is. He's one of those morons, that we always talk about. You remember that? All of you have seen that picture, haven't you? The freeper with the sign. The Democrats are morons, and spelled M-O-R-A-N. You've all seen that. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Yes, Guy.
Ooh, we got a bad buzz in the background. There we go. Hi.
Hi.
We got a terrible buzz in the background there.
We do?
Yeah.
Well, maybe this won't work then.
Try calling right back, okay?
I'll
take your call first.
All right, I'll try.
Yeah. Don't know what happened there. Got this big nasty buzz in the background. Sometimes phones aren't compatible with one another. I don't know what the far be it from me to explain that. Again, I did want to. I think we'll get a chance to do that. We'll see if the lady calls right back. We Let's try this again. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Do we still have the buzz?
Yes, we do. Let's go ahead and try it anyway.
Okay. No, I was responding to what you, the email you just read.
Yeah.
It's bribery, it's blackmail, and these people sit in front of Fox News and have no idea what is really going on. And this is what worries me. Is the buzz too bad?
It's pretty loud, whatever it is. They're,
okay.
It only comes on when you talk. I don't know what that is. That's all right.
Maybe something in my phone.
Well, that could be. Let's go ahead. Everybody will just have to put up with it, okay?
Okay, if they can. Okay, yeah, that's just about what struck a nerve with me. And they don't realize that each of these little small steps that these people have been taking look so inconsequential, so small, so well explained, and people are sitting around, it seems to me, waiting for a great shocker occasion, thinking that then everyone else will join those of us who are trying to resist what is really going on.
Well, I do agree, yes.
And so they don't see it. Each little step, like the Patriot Act, Paul Wellstone's death, what was that about? Max Cleland. You know, the list goes on and on and on. When they fired Phil Donahue. The Iraq War debacle. I don't know. It just really upsets me. And then somebody wants to email you and say that Limbaugh has a great audience that sits there. They sit there and listen to his lies.
Well, I think I wrote back, and I was in one of those moods. I think I wrote back and said, Rush must have shared some of his drugs with you. I think that's what I said.
Good for you.
Something along that line. Hey, thanks for your call. Good to hear from you.
Bye.
Yes, this liberal media. This liberal media that we... do you ever think about that when you hear that hear the right-wingers talk about it? They still do it. Even after Lee Atwater, before he died, said that it was a myth. He's the one that created that term, liberal media. Tried to make and did a good job of it. He was a hardcore right wing propagandist for the Republican Party all back through the 70s and 80s, and he died in the late 90s. And before he died, he kind of fessed up to coming up with some falsehoods like liberal media. And let's plan on talking about that tomorrow. This so-called liberal media. I have a lot of things to say about the liberal media. It doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist. We've got some great poll numbers, by the way, if you're one that keeps track of polls, and I do. I think things are looking very good right now, although I am not willing to take for granted that we're going to take the House back. Things could change drastically in the next 4 weeks somehow. You never know. Could be a shoe drop of some kind that we wouldn't like, but right now, if the election were held right now, I think we unquestionably would take the House back, and the Senate, I've got it at 49-49 with a couple of almost tie votes, so it's going to be interesting. The McCloskey talent race out there's, I know there's some going both ways that, show it 1 or 2 points either direction. But I think it's going to be very, very close. I really do. But anyway, 75% right now are saying the GOP mishandled the Mark Foley sex predator scandal. 75%. 52% say Hastert should resign. 52%. And that's somebody letting us know in the chat room here about the voting in Germany. I'm trying to see what it was. I said that they take a few days in Germany to come up with a vote. They don't? I don't know. I didn't see. Said the winner is called by 10 p.m. at the latest. But they do it by paper ballots, do they not? I'm sure they'll let me know on there. Polls close at 6. And the winner's called by 10 p.m. at the latest. And I know Germany's got, 50, 60 million people at least? I don't know, maybe 70? I don't know, quite a few. So if they still do it with paper ballots, why I don't see any reason why we couldn't do it in this country. I don't see any reason whatsoever. Thanks for letting me know about that. Angelica in the chat room let me know about that. And as you know, she called from Germany, so I guess she ought to know. I don't know how they do that. They have about a 65% turnout, she says, and they get those votes counted very quickly. Hey, the Germans are efficient. I guess we all know that. Wouldn't you know they would find a way to do it? Maybe the Japanese as well. I don't know how they do it in Japan. That'd be a good subject for a show, to take a look around the world, how people do their voting. And I'm thinking Australia still does it with paper ballots, although they don't have even close to the amount of people we have here. I don't know if there's another country in the world, and I'm sorry that I have such ignorance on this. I've never taken a look at how the rest of the world votes. I wonder if any other country in the world is using touchscreen voting machines. I really do wonder that. I don't know the answer to it. That would be interesting to know. I'll try and do some finding out about that. I was looking at going back to these polls here. We're down at the end of the program, so I'll bore you with some polls here. Only 31% of the people say that Hastert should remain Speaker of the House. 17% of Americans had no opinion as to whether Hastert should resign. Can you imagine that? 47% say Republicans in Congress are ethical. A year ago, 58% of the people said they were ethical. 44% of the people say Republicans in Congress are unethical. 54% say Democrats in Congress are ethical, which is lower than the 63% they got last year. I guess what it is is that people don't have a lot of confidence in politicians right now at all. And that's why in many, many of these cases, it'd be a great thing to get some of these incumbents out of there. It really would. And I don't like the advantage that the incumbents have. I've never liked that. We've got, as I've told you before, right here locally, we've got a do-nothing congressman in the name of Connie Mack. His father was a congressman, you know, that whole bit. And now he's a millionaire congressman. He's a do-nothing congressman. He doesn't do squat for us here. No representation whatsoever. And only when election time do you ever hear from him. He won't debate his opponent. He's got millions that he can spend on a campaign up against a few thousand for a Democrat in a hardcore red state area here, red area. It's just not fair. And he's a guy we'd love to get out of there, but I don't see it happening anytime soon with the money he's got behind him. And it's just a damn shame. It really is that money can do this to politics. Well, I do want to thank you for listening to the show today. We had a good dialogue going on a lot of issues, and we plan to do that again tomorrow. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network. Stay tuned for the Bruce Burt Show, and after that, Bob Kincaid. Great programming, both of those guys. They know what they're doing. They know what they're talking about. Everybody on the Head On Radio Network does. I'll remind you, you're listening to the Guy James Show, and as always, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you tomorrow, gang.